Blog Talk Radio.
A word for you, a word for you. I'm Blog Talk Radio. A word for you, a word for you. I'm Blog Talk Radio. A word for you, a word for you. I'm Blog Talk Radio. A word for you, a word for you. I'm Blog Talk Radio. A word for you. I'm Blog Talk Radio. A word for you, a word for you. I'm Blog Talk Radio. A word for you, a word for you. I'm Blog Talk Radio. A word for you, a word for you. I'm Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to A Word for You right here on Blog Talk Radio with your on-air radio personality, Tracy LaWanda. Stay right where you are. We'll be right back with A Word just for you.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to A Word for You right here on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks for tuning in. I am your host and on-air radio personality, Tracy LaWanda. And again, thank you so much for tuning in to the show today. Well, I'm excited about today. Well, like always, I'm excited. I'm excited anytime I see a news day. Today's show topic is what happened to the church Jesus built. And my special guest is Elizabeth Saxon, and she's going to be sharing with us her views on this topic, as well as some of herself with us on today. So I don't want you to go anywhere, wherever you are, stay right where you are. We're going to be right back. I'm going to go ahead and take a music break. Like I said, don't go anywhere because you don't want to miss this show. It's going to be awesome. Yes. Awesome, I said it. Well, look at this. Can you only imagine?
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence to my knees, or will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes, when I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
can only imagine.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening live to A Word for You right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your on-air radio personality, Tracy LaWanda, and my special guest today is Elizabeth Saxon. Can you only imagine? I just love that song. I can only imagine. Yes, yes, yes. Before I bring on my awesome guest today, I do want to share a word with you, and today's scripture is going to be coming out of the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 18, and the word of God is saying, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." See, Jesus said, "I will build my church." First off, we know that a church is not only a building, but it is a people, the body of Christ Jesus. The church is based on people. People that are called to follow Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. What then is the real responsibility of the quote-unquote church? To go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even till the end of age. That's what it tells us in the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Jesus gave us His church, the mission to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God and make disciples throughout the world, teaching them exactly what Jesus taught. You know, all that is, in spite of all that is going on in the world, betrayal, false prophets, disaster, and war, the church is still to go out on the byways and within the church building to spread the gospel to all, and then the end will come. The good news, the gospel is and will always be that of Jesus. So what happened to the church that Jesus built? Well, let me introduce to you a little bit of background on my guests that will be coming to discuss that very issue. Elizabeth Saxon is a songwriter, a musician, an actress. She was born in Brooklyn, New York. She overcame an abusive childhood, cancer, and ten years of severe sleep deprivation and demonic torment. Saxon has been walking with the Lord for 18 years. And I am just so excited because this is an awesome, awesome woman of God. And without any further ado, let me introduce to you my guest today, Elizabeth Saxon.
Thank you so much, sister. Thank you for that. And thank you for that wonderful song that made me cry.
Oh, I love that song. I love it, and I cry every time. I'm sorry, sweetie.
No,
that was not my intention.
It's good.
Well, God, thank you.
Stir the heart up.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Thank you so much for accepting the invitation to be a guest here
thank
on
you.
A Word for You. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And now, could you just tell our listeners a little bit about who Elizabeth is?
Well, you know, if it wasn't for the Lord, I wouldn't know who I am or I was. But I think that I'm always changing into the person of Jesus Christ. So who I am is someone that needed Christ very badly, and throughout my life, he's been constantly changing me.
Yeah.
But I came from a background of abuse, generational witchcraft, and at 6 months old, I was in foster care. My father had abandoned my mother, and there were five of us. I was the baby. And I grew up the first few years of my life not knowing that I even had brothers or sisters. And without my mother, I went from home to home. And it was very hard when I finally did get to come home with my mom, and then she introduced me to my other brothers and sisters, whom I didn't know. And that's where the abuse started. They were very angry that because I was the baby, I got to come home first. So with my brothers and sisters, there never was really a loving household. I grew up literally in fear. I was very shy as a child. I had talents from a young age with music and everything, but I was very shy, and I was always being abused either physically, emotionally, or psychologically. So it was a very sad childhood for me. And at age 23, after I went into the Army, that's when I got saved, and that began the journey that brought me to today.
Amen, amen, amen. And so how long did you serve in the Army?
I only served a couple of years.
Okay.
But I do have to say that that was at the beginning of the Persian Gulf War, which ended quite quickly. I believe it was 18 days. And my unit was about 8 hours away from being called. So I'm very blessed that I didn't have to go. The war ended just when we were about ready to go out. So I'm very blessed by that. But I will say that my time in the military, I really believe it was meant to be by God, because it taught me so much about the body of Christ. And I can't even explain. I will explain. By the things that I learned there are things that we are supposed to be, as a body of Christ, we're almost supposed to be an army as well. And we're not. We're really not working together the way that we should be. And there's a lot of reasons for that, and there's a lot of, you know, I'd like to discuss that today.
Yeah, most definitely, most definitely. So what do you think has happened to the church building as well as the body of Christ? What has happened that is no longer representing what Jesus said that he built the church for?
Well, I think for a long time it really hasn't been. I mean, when I first got saved, I moved in with a pastor and his wife and their three children, and they vowed that they would love me and see me through my deliverance. But it was nothing like that at all. They were quite spiritually abusive to me, and I instantly became disillusioned and confused. I had this naive thinking that I was going to be loved, like it was going to be Christ and his disciples, and it was nothing like that, you know. And to be a Christian, the actual word Christian means to be Christ-like. And the truth of the matter is, that we don't even come close to being like Jesus. And it's, you know, not pointing the fingers, but we're all kind of guilty of that. But I also think that you cannot really equate the body of Christ, say, geographically in the United States with the body of Christ, say, in the Philippines. And that is because there are different spiritual problems that do affect Christians in different geographical areas, because there are different demons that rule over different geographical areas, such as, if you were to go to San Francisco, you would say that there'd be a ruling spirit of homosexuality there. Well, there's most definitely a ruling spirit of greed in the United States that you wouldn't see, say, in the Philippines or some other places where the people are more humble. So the problem is American Christians are pretty much, you know, under the power of that spirit. And, you know, the Bible says the God of this world has blinded us. He's blinded our hearts and our minds. And Christians are kind of naive into thinking that just because you're a Christian and you have this Holy Spirit in you, that means that you're magically exempt from the powers of Satan. And you're not. Mm. We must continue. You know, we get blinded as well. We are distracted constantly. And there is such a spirit of greed in this country, and we cannot say that Christians are exempt from it. The Bible says that you know, that we are to seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, what were all those things? He said, do not worry about what to drink or what to eat or what to wear. But really, that's all that Americans think about. That's really all that they think about, you know, is you know, getting the best iPhone and, you know, wearing the finest clothes and getting the most money and getting the best car. And even Christians, you know, they fall into this kind of deception. They fall under that as well. And that's because they're not praying. They're not praying. They're not submitting to Christ. They're falling under the deception of the one who is blinding us, because you're not going to be powerful enough to overcome Satan just because you're a Christian. It doesn't work like that. You know, the Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he must flee from you.
Yes.
If you're not submitting to God and you're not resisting the devil, now you have to submit to God first, then
right.
resist the devil. You don't resist the devil and then submit to God. You have to do it in that order, and then
mm-hmm.
the devil will flee. But we're not seeing that. And overall, I mean, you look in the book of Revelations when Jesus spoke to the churches, and he said, "You have forgotten your first love."
Come on.
And the problem is we are not putting God first.
Ah.
There's a problem. There's a problem in the lives of the body of Christ with priority. Our family doesn't come first. Our business doesn't come first. Jesus Christ is to come first. He is our first love. We will not make it. We will not save a dying world if we don't put Christ first, because we are human. We are so susceptible to all the schemes of the devil, okay? And the problem is there is just this real self-righteous naivete where people think that, hey, I'm a Christian, the devil's underneath my feet. Well, it doesn't work like that. It just doesn't work like that.
My. So why doesn't money, fame, and power ever satisfy a person completely? Why can't that satisfy you? I mean, you know, we see it every day, people that are pastors, ministers, evangelists, and things of that sort. They have the fancy cars, and they have all of the money, and they have the fame as being a televangelist or whatever the case may be. But are they really satisfied? Are they happy?
Well, I'll tell you, I live in Greenwich, Connecticut, one of the richest cities in the United States. And even when I go grocery shopping, I see some of the most miserable millionaires that you can imagine. I mean, they just look miserable in their faces. They have the money, they can buy anything. But the thing is that we were created in the image of God, and inside of us there is a huge void. And the only place, the only person that can fill that void is God. You can't fill it with sex or drugs or money. It doesn't work, okay? Poor Michael Jackson, he had so much money, he was miserable.
Yes.
Elvis Presley, you know, you can go on and on and on.
Yes.
It doesn't, it really is not the thing. But I will say one thing. A long time ago, when I wanted to take martial arts lessons, I had a lesson with a kung fu black belt, and he said to me, Elizabeth, when you decide to study martial arts and you're getting ready to pick a teacher, a sensei, he said, don't pick a guy that's like a macho type who's the big hero. Pick a humble teacher. Pick a humble teacher, and that always stuck with me because I thought that's exactly the way you would pick your pastor. Don't pick the big macho guy. Don't pick the macho guy that's wearing the $800 suit and the gold rings. Pick a humble pastor. Pick a man of God. Because let me tell you something. I think a lot of these pastors, and I'm not saying they're not anointed, they don't speak the word, but there's a real problem here. And the problem is that they're trying to suck people into the church. Excuse me. They're trying to draw people in by using the whole success and money thing. Because they know that Americans are very preoccupied, almost obsessed with money, and there's such a spirit of greed. So they figure, well, look, you know, I'll show them, hey, you don't have to, you know, you could be a Christian and still wear all these diamonds and bling bling that I've got. But the thing is that that's not really how you reach people, okay? Because then all you get is people in the church who all they talk about is how you could be successful in Christ. And that's not the success that Christ wants for you. That's really not the success. He cares more about how we treat each other. It's not about the money. He said, put me first, and all these things shall be added to you. But we're not supposed to be looking at the money first and the success first and then Christ. We've got it all backwards. And I also will tell you that these pastors have it wrong, and it's not all pastors, but, you know, we all know who they are, you know. We can just tell, you know.
Right.
And it's like one day the Lord said to me, who's running the show here? And it's supposed to be Jesus running the show, but these pastors, it's like instead of making a name for Christ, he's making a name for himself. And it's the Lord said to me one day, who's running the show? I'm supposed to be running the show, but these pastors, they're running the show. You know, and it's not supposed to be like that. And I really believe that if they would try to reach people in their hearts instead of in their pockets, they would bring people into the kingdom of God. people are hurting. Rich people,
yeah.
poor people. It doesn't
yeah.
matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if you want to be a millionaire. People are hurting. They need to know that God loves them.
Yeah.
They don't need
yeah.
to, they don't need to hear how to get prosperous through you know, send $100 to me and I'll send you this video and you can, and God wants you to prosper. Well, more than anything, what God wants is for us to love Him with all our heart, mind, and soul
yeah.
and strength, and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves.
My. Wow. And that is so true, because I always looked at the church building as a hospital for those that are sick. And I remember being in service some
yes.
years ago, and it was a gentleman who obviously was a bum because, you know, he looked the part. And so he sat in the back of one of the pews. Mind you, he just came there and just sat down. He wasn't making any disturbance or anything of that sort. And one of the deacons came from up front and told the man he had to leave. And
mm-hmm.
I just was in total, like, how, I wanted to stand up and yell and say, how could you? This
mm-hmm.
is a hospital. It was not like he was coming there, like, making all kind of noise and acting irate. He sat in the back. That man needed something that day.
Yes.
But yet they threw him out of the church building. And to this day, I that always comes in my mind, because it's like I'm looking at the church as a hospital. He was sick. He needed to be healed that day, and they turned him away.
And I have seen that time and time and time again, and that's why at some point I had to leave the church, and I had to just be alone with God for many years and just study the Word and be with the Lord. You have to understand that when I first got saved and moved in with the pastor and his wife, they were my only representation of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I came from an abusive background. I had no love. I didn't love
right.
myself, and I was not loved. So the way they treated me, I assumed that that's the way God felt about me. Okay.
Mm.
So what they did is very, it's very damaging to someone's spirituality, and they will have to answer to God for doing that.
Yeah.
Everyone is accountable, but especially those who are in positions of high power. You're not supposed to abuse your power. And what I want to say is we are all ambassadors. The pastor and his wife were supposed to be an ambassador to Christ for me. They treated me very badly. I won't get into details, but
right.
I'm working on a book, and I want to write about it because it's something, you know, it's something that needs to be exposed.
Yeah.
When you go to another country as an American, you are an ambassador. Whether you like it or not, you are an ambassador to America.
Mm-hmm.
If someone who's never met an American has an encounter with you, and you are snobbish, and you are rude, and you are just completely obnoxious, well, you're going to leave the impression with them that that's how Americans are, because you are the only American that they met. And they're going to tell all my friends, oh, Americans are obnoxious, and I met an American, and that's, whether we like it or not, that's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went through a lot more torment than was necessary because of the rejection and the abuse that I received at the hands of Christian ministers and pastors. It was only until I got alone with Christ for years that I got to really know the love of Christ, because when it comes down to it, being Christ-like means being a Christian means to be Christ-like, but the only person who is Christ-like is Christ himself. And so
yeah.
we must not look at pastors. We must spend time with Christ, or else you will never know him by looking at Christians, because many of them are not Christ-like. Many of them fall far short.
Yes, yes. My goodness.
And I do want to say that most of all, like, again, the story about going abroad if you're American, the reason why that happens is because how many Americans go abroad and say, how many are conscious enough to say, you know, I'm going to watch my behavior. I don't want the people here in Spain to think that Americans are bad. They don't, they're not conscious. And why are they not conscious? Because they want to have a good time and go and just be themselves, okay?
Yeah.
And the thing is that a lot of Christians are like that. They're not very conscious of the way that they behave. Mm-hmm. I have seen such horrible behavior from people who say that they're even ministers, pastors, that you are giving Christ a bad name, and you are turning someone away from salvation. And you're going to have to answer. You will have to answer to that. You know, there's just a lot of disrespect for the Lord. If you say you're a Christian and you respect God, how can you act like that? You must not respect the Lord. You must not respect the Lord if you're not even if you're not even conscious or care how you act when you're around other people. You are a representation of Christ. You are an ambassador to Christ, and you have to be very careful about the way you act, or you better just not tell anybody that you're a Christian. You might as well just say, no, I'm not a Christian. Either that or just don't give the Lord a bad name.
Yes, 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 yes.
You know, when I was in the Army, when you first go into basic training, a lot of people have their own bad attitude. You're from the city, or you're from here, you're from there, and you're like, my name is such and such, and it's all about me. And the drill sergeant will get in your face and say, it ain't all about you, and I'm going to break you. And you don't even know what they're doing to you, but what they do to you in eight weeks, by the time that 8 weeks is over, you have no more pride in who you are. But Sister Tracy, you have pride that you are a United States soldier. And that is the first thing that you see yourself, is that I am a soldier of the United States Army. Second, I am me. And in the body of Christ, we have to be broken and say, I am not me, such and such.
Say it. Yes.
I am a Christian, a daughter of God, a son of Christ. I am a representation of Christ. I am a Christian. And then, second, you are who you are. We've got it backwards, sister. We don't have a priority straight. We don't have a priority straight.
My goodness. So that's good right there. I'm just pondering and meditating on what you just said. Oh my gosh, that is just very deep. It is so truthful. It's so honest, and it's right to the point. What do you believe are the roles of a leader, of someone that is leading? What are their roles? What I know you did say that, you know, which we should all know, that we have to be in the image of Jesus Christ. But what are the true roles of a true leader that would make you want to follow this individual?
Well, first of all, even as a pastor, there's no way that we could ever be perfect. So that's one thing. Let me put that aside.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that, let me read this to you. This is John 10, verse 11. John 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and he runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. So you see, there's a difference between being a pastor and then being Christ. Okay? Christ is the one who actually died for us. The pastor is more like the hired hand who is there to look after us. Now, we know which pastors will run away when we need them, but there are a lot of pastors that will stay with us and sacrifice himself for us. So a good leader is someone, you know, you have two choices when you want to become a leader. And I had a friend once that said she wanted to be a pastor, and I knew why she wanted to be a pastor, because she wanted the focus on her. It was all about her ego. And I said, you have to be a leader for one reason and one reason only, and that is because you want to serve the people that are underneath you.
Hallelujah.
Not the other way around. If you want the people to serve you, you have the wrong intentions and motivations, and God will not bless you. God will not bless you. So to answer your question, whether it's being a drill sergeant or it's being a pastor or being a manager at your office, you have to understand. Look at Princess Diana. She had 110 charities. She could have said, oh, I'm the Princess of Wales. Everybody worship me. But she served people. She would get down on her knees and she would touch people who had AIDS, and she served. She served and she bowed down. This is what Christ did. Did he not wash his disciples' feet?
Come on. Yes, yes.
So if your pastor treats you as though you are beneath him, then he is not a man of God. Your motivation should be to serve the people under you. It should be to take care of them, to care about them. And you've got to be willing to sacrifice for them the way Jesus laid down his life.
Yes.
You know, it's the same thing with the husband. It's the same thing with the husband. The Bible says that the husband is the head of the house, but that he is to lay down his life the way that for his wife, the way that Jesus laid down his life for his bride. So a husband, even a Christian man, who says, well, I'm the man of the house, I'm a man of God, and woman, you obey me. If he takes advantage of her and uses that to be abusive in any way, then he doesn't have the right motivation for being the husband, which is the leader of the house.
That's
As the leader, he's supposed to be willing to sacrifice for his family and to serve them. He has a responsibility. It's not all about he. There's a responsibility and an accountability that is always there in leadership. And if you're just doing it to be served and to be worshipped and for people to look up to you, then you are not a good leader, and that's not what leadership is all about.
Yes, yes. Wow. I have Let's Talk Sports is in the chat room, and I guess he's getting ready to type up something else because so far he said the first thing is not wanting to be a leader in the first place. Your motivation should be to be, and I guess he's typing up some other stuff, but before, when you were speaking before, he says that we have always had it backwards. That's something else that he had also stated, and which we have always had it backwards. So I'll just wait for him to see if he's going to type something else up to his comment that he's just made.
I kind of disagree with that. What he said about we should not want to be a leader, I totally disagree with that because.
But go ahead, speak on it.
Well, God has called certain people to be leaders. He will put that desire in your heart. If that were the case, there would be no leaders, and there would be nothing but sheep. We do need leaders, but we need leaders who have the right motivation. I have always wanted to be a pastor because I truly want to help people and guide people and do for Christians what the exact opposite of what was done to me. I don't want to abuse, but I want to show them the love of Christ. I want to be there for them. I want to help them and guide them. I don't want to turn away somebody who comes into the church because their clothes smell, you know? So it's, you know, if you have the desire to lead for the right reason, then it is a good thing. Absolutely.
Okay. Yes, yes. So what are some of the things, then, Elizabeth, that keeps us from or prevents us from getting into the presence of God? As you had said that, you know, you took some time just to be with the Lord. And I loved it. We spoke about that, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and I was just totally in awe of it. I think that's the best place you can be is in the presence of God. So what prevents some people from having that experience?
Well, you know the story about Mary and Martha, where Jesus was sitting there with his disciples, and he was teaching them. And Mary was in the kitchen cooking furiously, and Martha was just laying at Jesus' feet just learning. And Mary came in, and she said to Jesus, "Jesus, tell my sister to help me. I am trying to cook for all of you, and she's just sitting there." And Jesus said to Mary, "Mary, relax. You always work and do things, but Martha is doing what is best, meaning she's in my presence, and she's learning, and she's listening." Okay? And Christians are too much running around doing things.
Come on, say it.
They do things for Christ, but they don't know Christ. You cannot do things. You know what? It's like Charlie's Angels. They work for him, and they only hear his voice, but they don't even know him. It's like they're working for some anonymous boss, hoping that, hey, everything I do, he sees, and, you know, he's going to reward me and my family. You've got to get a relationship with Christ going. You've got to know him. And there's nothing that you can do that can alienate yourself from Christ, because he will always accept you into his presence as long as you come to him, as long as you come to him humble, admitting your sins, and just telling him how much you need him. I mean, I can tell you there were many times when I couldn't come into his presence And he was like, come into my presence. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do that I would turn you away. And I really learned that the things you read in the Bible about Christ are so true. He is so much like that, so much like that, that you can come to him about anything. And, I mean, I've talked to God about things that I wouldn't tell my doctor, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, I talk to him about even the most mundane, embarrassing things. And, I mean, I literally, he is amazing. If I'm looking for something lost in my house, I literally say, Lord, where did I put my keys? And
right.
then the thought pops into my head underneath the couch, and I will go and I will find them. I mean, he lives with me. I made him, you know, I gave him my home. I said, you know, you are
right.
the Lord of this house.
Yeah.
But there's so much that God wants to share with us and do for us, but he can't do that if we don't have a relationship with him.
Amen, amen. Now, Elizabeth, it looks like I have a caller that has a question or a comment, so I'm going to put them on.
Okay.
Area code 323, you're listening live to A Word for You. Could you give us your first name and the state you're calling from?
Well, hello, ladies. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Hello.
Good. My name is Joseph, and I'm calling from Southern California. And I'm Let's
All
Talk
right,
Sports.
Joseph.
I'm Let's Talk Sports, who just typed in.
Okay, say, welcome.
Yes.
So you have anything you want to share with us on today?
I wanted to say that to the pastor that, you know, the Bible says that many are called, but few are chosen. The ones who are chosen are the ones who become leaders. The ones who are called don't become leaders. See, real leaders don't ask to be leaders. They don't have any desire to be a leader. Because to have a desire to be a leader means to have a desire to say you know what someone needs.
Yes,
it is, because when we come before you, say, this is what you said. You said, I wanted to help people. I wanted to do this. Well, first of all, you don't know what people need. Only God knows what people need. And the only way you find out, and the only way you find out what God wants for them is by you getting out of the way and letting God show you what they need. It has nothing to do with what you know or don't know.
Well, I did not say, sir, that I would know what they need, but God works through people. God works through people. You know, I am the one that they would come to for love. I'm the one that they would come to pray with, okay? And I said that I wanted to care for them, but where would I get my guidance from? I would get it from the Lord. I never said that I had the answers to give them. I never said that I knew how to care for them.
I'm sorry. I thought I heard you say that when you became a pastor, before you came, you spoke about your something. But you said the way I had been treated. You said the way
no,
I.
She was talking about other. No, she was talking about people that she had lived with.
Right,
you know,
right, and talking about Christians and talking about what kind of a Christian to be, and you wanted to be a different kind of Christian than the ones that you had saw, or the ones that you had been had the experience with.
Not a different type of Christian, but a Christian the way that God teaches us in the Bible.
Right, right. A different type of Christian. That's pretty much the same. That's pretty much the same thing. Well, the only way God uses us is if we get out of the way for God to use us. And getting out of the way means letting go of concepts and ideas that have to do with anything that we think we know.
Well, everything that I know is what I have learned from the Lord. And the way that God uses us is not when we get out of the way, but it's when we get down on our knees and submit to him and let his ideas come into us. Let him teach us how to treat each other. It's not something that we know on our own.
Well, it is something that we can get in touch with, and that's exactly what my point. But we only get in touch with it if we become available to it.
Well, that's what I mean by submitting
to
God.
Right, so therefore I can't say I want to be a preacher, I want to be a leader because I want to help people, okay? Because the truth of the matter is I don't know what help people need. And if I come to it with that from that place, I am making an assumption. I am assuming that I know what they need. Well,
they need love. They need love. That's what they need. And as long as you have a willing heart, and you can say to the Lord, Lord, give me what I need to give these people. As long as you're willing to be there, then yes, you can be a leader. If
right,
that's your motivation, if you want to help people.
Yes, but wanting to help people, in order to help someone, you have to not assume or to have any expectations of who they are and what they need.
Well, I've learned a lot through my suffering, and when I see it in other people, I know exactly what they're feeling because we have the same suffering.
No, what you see when you see other people suffering is your own suffering. You don't see their suffering. Because in no way can you understand what they are going through. There's no way you can be them. Only thing you can ever be is you. You know your suffering. And that's the point that I'm making. And if you go at them from a place of recognizing your suffering and looking at them and saying their suffering is like your suffering, then you are not in that moment allowing God to meet them at where they are and to help them with their suffering, because only God can understand what their suffering is. He's the only one that can meet them in a place and bring healing to them, because he's the only one that knows.
Sir, I never said that I would bring healing to them. I said that I cared about them.
Well, that's what we do when we come in the name of God, when we come in the name of Christ, the Christ consciousness, come in a place of healing, a place of love, a place of compassion. That's what we do. When God uses us and we make ourselves available, that's what we do. That's why when one does that and someone is in need and you meet that person's need, and not from a place of your own mind, not from a place of your own ideas, but from that place of Christ, come from that place of God, then they will be healed. They will be, their need will be met. They will be different. They won't be the same.
And why exactly are you so upset that you're yelling?
Oh, I'm not upset at all. I'm just I'm passionate. I'm like Paul. Paul was very passionate, and I'm very passionate. I'm never upset about anything because, see, I don't have a horse in the race, so I can never be upset. And I know
okay.
and I know who man is. See,
well,
I know who man
something.
Is.
Well, let me tell you something, sir. If I fall down on my knee and it bleeds, I'm going to put a Band-Aid on it. And I know how that feels. I know how it feels to have a scraped knee. And if the lady across the street comes over to me and says, "Sister, I just fell down on my knee and my knee is bleeding," I'm going to put a Band-Aid on her. And I can honestly 100% say, "I know how you feel, sister. So you are wrong. You are very wrong."
Well, let me ask you
sir.
This. Are you saying, you've taken something and you've twisted it. God says we have to serve him in honesty and truth. Okay, God, this is how you twist it. You took something in the physical world. When we speak to people about their needs to heal them, it's not the physical world where that healing takes place. Of course, but you took something that's not spiritual. Of course, somebody, you don't have to know who God is to help put a Band-Aid on somebody's knee. That has nothing to do with spirit. Yeah, but it's not an example that's analogous to what we're talking about. We're talking about God and Christ. And when you talk about God and Christ and the love of Christ, the joy of Christ, the compassion of Christ, the healing of Christ, those are spiritual things. Those are areas that deal with the not seen, the unseen, not the place of the seen. Like if you go to a hospital and you go to pray with someone or to help someone in need, that prayer that you are asking for is a prayer that would be delivered not in the visible, not in the seen way, but in the invisible way, because you don't know how it will be healed. They don't know how it will be healed.
Sir, if you think that I actually was talking about a Band-Aid in a knee, then you totally misunderstood what I was saying.
Well, you used an analogy. Right, but you used an analogy that wasn't analogous to what we're saying. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Can I speak?
Yes.
What I'm saying is I've been through a lot of suffering in my life. I've been through a lot. I've had cancer. So if I meet someone who has cancer, how can you possibly say that I don't know what they're going through?
This is how I can
have compassion for them. Excuse me?
This is how I can say you don't know what they're going through, because you're not them going through it. You were you going through it. But see, God is the only one who understands what it's like to be them going through it.
But
and
I don't need to understand
them,
to be there for them and pray for them and care for them and tell them, "I love you, I'm here for you, let's pray together to the Lord for the answer that you need or for the healing that you need." I don't need to be in their body to understand what they're feeling, to pray with them, to love them, to care for them. No.
That's exactly my point. That's exactly what I'm saying to you. It has nothing to do with it has nothing to do with you having cancer or not having cancer. Because we're talking about God in Christ. Because God in Christ never had cancer. But they understand every cancer patient. So it has nothing to do with what we're going through or what we've been through. And that's what we get in the way of operating from a place that is purely from Christ and God, is when we put ours on our opinions and our perceptions on it. God doesn't need our perceptions. Christ doesn't need our opinions or our experiences to heal, to speak to the needy, to feed the poor.
Oh, God
doesn't need any of that.
Oh, brother, because, God does need our experiences to speak to people. Yes, he does.
Okay, one second.
God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And God has nothing to do with us. What we do has nothing to do with the perfection of God, the joy, the grace of God. He's the same every day.
I don't understand your point, sir. I really don't. There's a difference between sympathy, sir, and empathy. You can care about somebody and feel sorry for them, but unless you went through what they went through, you can't really cry for them. You can't really care for them and have compassion for them. And God does give us experiences so that we can reach out to other people and have that fellowship of suffering. And our experiences do mean something, and our experiences do give us a reason to reach out to people so that people can say, well, she's been in the same situation. She understands. My family doesn't understand, but she understands because she went through it. I don't have to be in that person's body to understand what they're going through.
I don't see that at all, and I've never seen that. And this is why I don't see that. I can have been on drugs in my life, and someone else who has been on drugs in their life, and I can come to them to talk to them about my journey and what I've been through, and let them know what I've been through, and so I understand what you've been through. But if it won't do a bit of good. Any words I say to them, if I don't come to them with an open heart that has nothing to do with my experience.
Absolutely, and that's what you play with them.
So it doesn't matter whether or not I was on drugs or whether I was not on drugs.
It matters to them.
No, it matters to you. It does. It doesn't matter to them. It matters to you.
Joseph and Elizabeth, calm down right now. Okay, calm down for just one moment.
I
see that you do. I wanted to say though, Joseph. So what is a testimony then? You know how people say the Word of God says we overcome by our testimony. When we tell others about how God has delivered and healed our bodies. So where does the testimony thing come in at when you're speaking about it's not about us, it's not about our emotions or our feelings. But we have, there is a reason why we have testimonies, is there not? Because it says it in the Word of God.
There's a reason we have testimony. And testimony is for the group, for the group that assembled. Because see, the Bible says we only need a mustard seed of faith.
Right.
All we need is a mustard seed of faith. So our faith doesn't come by others. Our faith comes through our own surrendering, and all we need is a mustard seed. So for man needs a lot of things to get to a point where he can feel comfortable to do what it is that he needs to do, which is to surrender himself and give of himself and surrender himself to God. So that is a human thing. I mean, there are many people who stand up in church and give testimonies. Half the people listen, half the people not listen, half the people know what they're talking about. Maybe the other half don't care what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Can
you know,
I say
something?
I'm sorry. Joseph,
go ahead.
Joseph, did not Jesus become man so that he can be like us?
The reason he became man. And so
I know
that
why he became man. I know why he became man.
Well, you said the reason.
But what I'm
saying,
No, but what I'm saying is when he became man, he knew what it was like to feel pain. He knew what it was like to be lonely. He knew, it said he was a man of sorrows. So, I mean, and that has a lot to do with the compassion that he had for suffering people. He had great compassion.
Yes, Laura, but compassion is not empathy. is not feeling sorry for. It has nothing. There's none of compassion. It's understanding and seeing the person as who they really are, and not buying into the circumstance or the situation of what they have bought into. That's why when the example Jesus gave us about the prostitute, when they brought the prostitute to him, that's why he didn't delve into a discourse about how he knew what it would feel like to be prosecuted or to be downtrodden or to be someone who is cast out. He didn't go into any of that. He didn't buy into the idea that the accusers had bought into.
But did he not? Was he not persecuted? Was he not persecuted?
That's my point, though, Larry. He was persecuted, but he didn't go there with her. He dealt with this lady from a place of compassion, saying, "Look, this is what is going on, and this is how you deal with it. This is what is going on, and this is how you deal with it." That's what he did, and he told the rest of them who were standing there looking for a show, looking for some way to quench their appetite of judgment and recrimination. Well, go ahead on and recriminate, but do it from a place where you haven't been that person, and the love that he had for them convicted them, and they made them think.
If you have that experience, you cannot not remember what you've been through. I cannot say I don't know what that person's going through. If I had cancer, then I had cancer. I can't undo it, you know.
Right, exactly. And your cancer is your testimony about what you have gone through and what God has brought you through. But that is not that testimony is not about anybody else. That's about you.
When you get treatments for cancer, it feels the same in my body as it does in someone else's body. I can most definitely say I know how they feel.
You can't say that. My father died of cancer. My father-in-law died of cancer. You can't possibly say you know how they felt when they were going through cancer. You can't possibly say that.
How could you know that if you've never had cancer? How could you know that?
You can. This is how I know that. Because you are not them. All you can do is imagine what it would feel like and project from your thoughts and your consciousness and project it onto theirs. That's all you can do, because everybody has different levels of threshold of pain. Everybody's body operates differently. Everybody deals with sickness differently. So you can't possibly say that you know what other people feel like when they have cancer.
I totally disagree with you.
I know you do, because you identify so strongly with your suffering. And so, see, Mother Teresa did something that most people don't even realize. They think that Mother Teresa was so kind and so sweet, how she helped the people that were dying, when the fact of the matter is she didn't help them at all in the sense of help. What she did was she brought them off of the streets into a building onto a mat to die. She didn't administer any medicine. She didn't give them any other comfort. She brought them inside, and her idea was to show what the suffering is like, and to deal with the suffering. And a lot of Christian people see God from that perspective, from suffering. That's why they don't have compassion. That's why these churches are dying. That's why they're dying, and a lot of them are closing up their doors, because they don't understand what compassion is. They don't understand what Christ's message was, because the Christ's message that they always come back to is judgment and recrimination. That's what it always comes back to.
Okay, there's some silence for a moment. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, thank you.
I totally thank you so much, Joseph, for calling
You're
in.
Welcome.
And I just, before I let you go, I just want to go back to what the top, you know, all of that, what was said has to do with what's going on. But from your, you know, perspective, Joseph, what is happening to the church that Jesus built? Because that's what the show's topic is about. From your perspective, before I, let you go, what is happening to the church building and the body of Christ? What is happening?
Well, it's crumbling and it's going away. And the reason it's crumbling and going away is because it's not meeting the people where the people are. It's standing above the people and as if it's better than the people. And it's become a business. It's become a business. If we look on, all you have to do is turn on the television. You don't even have to go to church. You can just turn on the television on Sunday on all the church channels and just listen to them. And that's all they're talking about is prosperity and money. Prosperity and money. Prosperity and money. That's all they're talking about. You know, so because what they don't recognize is, what they don't know is that to follow Christ means to not want, to not need. To follow Christ means that your needs are met, and you know that your needs are met. So you're not outside of yourself looking for other folks to do for you, looking for other folks to keep you alive, other folks to keep you in the lifestyle that you've lived. You don't have a lifestyle. See, so because they pollute, and the other thing is because they turn Christ into an idol. And God told us don't idol worship.
Right.
He told us don't idol worship. And they turn Christ into an idol. Nowhere in the Bible does it say to bring any image, to create any image for God or Christ. Nowhere does it say that. It says stay away from those images. It says there will be no graven images. But you go in most churches, you see crosses up there. You see people talking about wearing them around their necks. You see pictures of Jesus in the church. And he clearly told you, don't do that. And Jesus, at every turn, and anything that he did, he always talked about his Father. He always, even down to the point where he told him, when you see me, you see who has sent me. You know, but man, we don't get that because we like to idol worship. We like to look outside of ourselves and look to somebody else to be our savior, to be our leader, to help us out of the wilderness and all the rest of that business. See, and when you looking for that kind of type of stuff, you end up getting what your perception and the ideas that you carry bring with that. If we look at Dr. King's message and look at Dr. King's life. To me, one of the greatest one of the greatest people America has ever produced. If we look at him and his story, he didn't stand up in the church back in the day when they were looking for a leader to bring that movement about. He didn't stand up and raise his hand and say, "Pick me, I want to lead them." He ended up leading by default. And if we look at every disciple that Jesus picked, none of them stood up and raised their hand either and said, "Hey, pick me, I want to be the one."
Right.
He chose himself, and then it was up to them to agree to be a part of what he was doing and be a part of his life, and they chose it. See, but today it's not like that. Today anybody can say they're a preacher. Anybody can say they can start a church, and pretty much say whatever they want to say. And they're respected in this society. You put a reverend in front of somebody's name, no matter what they stand for. No matter what they're really about, automatically they deserve respect. When we see what that has gotten us. We see what that has gotten us with the Catholic Church all these years. All those years of molesting those boys for years and years and years because people just saw, oh, well, there's the pastor, there's the priest. Let's respect him. Let's honor him. Instead of let's look at him and see what kind of works he's doing. Let's look and see what he's doing. Who does he represent? Well, let's look at him and see if he represents that before we give him anything. Because
well,
many are called, many hear that call. Hey, me, what about me? What about me? I'm next.
Mm.
But Jesus said, God said, few are chosen.
Yes.
And the ones that are chosen never ask to be chosen. The ones that are chosen, even down to Jesus, when at the end, what did Jesus say? Father, can this cup pass my lip?
No.
See, even Jesus, and he knew who he was. You know, Dr. King said the same thing when he was firebombing his house. He was down on his knees praying, God, is this really for me? Am I really supposed to do this? See, but a lot of these other ones, no, that's not what they man validates them. Man is the one that picks them. Real leadership is chosen. It doesn't choose itself.
Amen. You know what, Joseph?
Yeah.
Thank you so much for calling in, you know, and giving us your insight on what happened to the church that Jesus built. Do you have a show here on Blog Talk?
Yes, I do. It's called Let's Talk Sports, and it's where what I do is I talk about sports to bring the men in so that we can talk about spirit as well.
Okay, and when does your shows air?
They are on Tuesdays at 7 o'clock, but sometimes they change because a lot of times I just sitting in my meditation and in my prayer when I hear God may say, Spirit may say, well, do it this day, and I'll do it that day. Or, don't do it this, or I'll do it that day, because you know, for me, ladies, it's about surrendering the ideas and the concepts that I have of a me, and know that there is no me, there is only God, and everything else is a lie. Everything else is built on circumstance and situations, and those change. If you talk to any old person, they'll tell you that. Talk to anybody in the 80s and 90s. Boy, they can tell you some stories about change.
Well, you know, again, I thank you for calling in.
Thank
and,
you, guys. Thank you so much.
And
peace and blessings to you.
All right, and you have a beautiful day.
And Elizabeth, thank you. Thank you for standing in and being who you are.
Thank you, brother.
Yes, indeed. You guys take care. Peace and blessings.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow, I would say that was a debate there.
Towards the end, I just kept silent because I knew it would go on forever.
All right, we are going to go ahead and take a music break so you can go ahead and get you some water, Elizabeth, because I need some water right now.
Mm-hmm. We were at an impasse. We were at an impasse, and it can go no further.
Yes, yes, yes. And the song that I'm going to play is Change is Going to Come. Because it is. So stay right where you are. You're listening live to A Word for You right here on Blog Talk Radio. And I'm your on-air radio personality, Tracy LaWanda, and my special guest is Elizabeth Saxon. So stay right where you are. We'll be right back after this music break.
Amen.
But I know
Welcome back to A Word for You right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your on-air radio personality, Tracy LaWanda, and our show's topic today is What Happened to the Church That Jesus Built? My special guest is Elizabeth Saxon, and we had a caller call in, Joseph call in, who has a show called Let's Talk Sports, and he shared a little bit. So, we're discussing what happened to the church that Jesus built, and let's get back to the show's topic here. When I say this phrase, this quote to you, Elizabeth, tell me what it means to you.
Well, first I want to say something. I'm not a
go
pastor.
Go ahead, sure. Go ahead.
Joseph,
that's
Joseph
right, that's right.
Joseph,
go ahead.
I'm a pastor. I'm not a pastor. And what I had said was that there was a time when I had wanted to be, because I cared so much for people and wanted to put myself in a position where I could be there for them, loving and caring and pray with them. I never said that because of my testimony that I could answer all their problems. When someone comes to you and they're hurt, you have to take it to the Lord in prayer. And sure. I know that the Lord is the only one that can heal them. I never said that, you know, that becoming a pastor meant that I thought that I could heal them, or that, you know, that I had their answers. That's definitely not what I said. But as it stands, I am not a pastor. And so we in the middle of the conversation we came to an impasse, and there was nothing more that I could I just didn't agree with what he said. I suffered for 10 years with no sleep. I was tortured for 10 years with absolutely no sleep. And to me, pain is pain. I mean, if I see a prostitute on the street, I've never been a prostitute, but that doesn't mean I can't feel bad for her. And I know we talked a few weeks ago about when I spoke to these three prostitutes on the street, and I was almost in tears because I felt how much that they must be in a situation like that because their father didn't love them. My father didn't love me. I never had a father's love, but I didn't become a prostitute. I don't have to be a prostitute to understand, you know, the pain that they were in. But, you know, I had compassion for them. I was weeping, and I told them, you know, don't you know that you have a Father in heaven who loves you? You don't need to do this, you know? And as I told you in that discussion, it really touched two of the prostitutes that were standing there. So just want to get that out of the way. I am not a pastor. But I do believe that because of my suffering, I really have become a very compassionate person. I was not compassionate before my suffering. I was a very cold person. But over the years, as I've suffered, I've become more compassionate to people, even to the point where I can weep easily if I see somebody who's homeless, and I've never been homeless. But to me, pain is pain. Yes, there's different thresholds, and I've had my share of very high threshold of pain for a long time. But, you know, whether somebody falls down on their knee and they get hurt, you can feel compassion for them for that. Or if somebody's dying in their sickbed, you can feel compassion for that. And so I think that was what I was trying to say, was that through my suffering, I developed this compassion, and that at one point I wanted to be a pastor because I wanted so much to be there for people. And most people, you know, not every Christian is as spiritually strong as others that can go to God in prayer, or maybe they don't know that God loves them, and somebody may come to you and not know, and that's, you know, that's why we do need leaders, for someone who could say, you know, God does love you. I know because I went through it. I thought I wasn't loved, and I have found the love of Christ. Let me pray with you about your situation, and, you know, the suffering that you go through is just something that makes you have a fellowship with them. You know, and you don't have to be in their body to feel their level of pain to have compassion for people.
And I thank you for that, you know, for, you know, the statement. And also I thank you for the compassion that you had that day when you shared that testimony with me a couple of weeks ago about, mm-hmm. you know, going up to these prostitutes. Because of you doing that, one of them didn't one accept Jesus Christ in their life as their Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Okay, see, so it goes to show that, you know, you do have to have, you know, compassion, and we can kind of understand where someone's coming from. And if you wouldn't have done that, that soul would have still been lost if you wouldn't have had compassion for what you saw.
Well, I was in a group with many Christians, and was afraid to go up to them. I don't, you know, I don't just go up to people and say, hey, I'm a Christian, I can help you. That's totally not, you know, that's not the way that I am. But as I passed them, I saw them standing there. I was just struck in my heart with pain seeing them standing there, these three beautiful girls. And I said to another Christian that was with me, I said, are those are prostitutes? Because they were very beautiful. And I thought, you know, that's not what a prostitute looks like. Well, all the Christians that were with me said, yeah, who cares, and just kept walking. But I started to weep. And I literally felt the Holy Spirit pushing me over towards them. And what came out of my mouth was, how can you girls do this to yourself? Don't you know there's a Father in heaven who loves you so much? And they were just struck by that. And I couldn't even believe that those words came out of my mouth.
Yeah.
You know, so that started a discussion where I wasn't judging them at all, but just letting them know that, you know, that God loves them very much and doesn't want this for them, you know. So it was because of the suffering that I went through. And when I saw the other Christians just walk by them, it really upset me that nobody would reach out to them. We had just come from a church meeting,
right.
and
right.
they were looking at them like, who cares? They're just prostitutes. Well,
yeah.
You know, to me, it felt like something different.
And if we're in the image of Jesus Christ, as you were saying earlier in the show, Elizabeth, then we're to act just like him. You know, Jesus hung out with the prostitutes. Jesus hung
Absolutely.
Out with those that had demonic spirits and those
yes.
that were, you know, just not in their right minds and things of that sort. And me, you know, God has chosen me to do prison ministry, which I've been doing now for the last 6 years. And a
right.
lot of people, when they look at me, they go, well, gosh, you know, how could you do, you know, like the way you look and stuff, how could you do that? I said, it's not what I wanted to do. Because I was telling the Lord, not me, but he had chose me, as Joseph was saying, to do that.
Exactly.
And
right.
A lot of people were saying that, I'm losing train of thought. A lot of people were saying that, you know, why would you go into a place like that? It's just a demonic place. And I'm like, regardless of what those people did, they are still God's children. That is still a soul that is lost that
Amen.
Needs to hear about the gospel. So
right,
therefore,
right.
what the church building has lost sight of is the lost soul. It's about the lost souls. As you were saying, it's not about the, you know, how to become wealthy. It's about those souls that are wandering in the street that
right.
need to hear somebody. And you don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a
no.
minister. You don't have
no.
to be an apostle or a bishop to do
no.
what God has called us to do. He said, go therefore into all the nations and spread the gospel. He didn't say only pastors and only certain people do that. He, anyone, all we
yes.
really are, all those bishops are servants.
Just forget
That's
the
all
titles.
We are.
Just forget the titles and just
forget
know that you
title.
Are a servant of, just forget the title and just remember that you're a servant of God. If you see somebody hurting or if you see somebody in need, just tell them that Jesus loves them. Tell them that he died for them at the cross. You know, that he was born into this world, that he became a man to die for their sins, you know, that so that they would have eternal salvation. And you don't have to have any credentials. And I do agree with Brother Joseph on that one issue. You can take a test and become a pastor. You can take a course. You don't even
mm-hmm.
have to, you know, you don't
mm-hmm.
even have to have any love inside of you. You know.
Yeah. Right.
But I do, there was a time when I the Lord had put the desire in my heart. Okay. And I was starting to say to the Lord, I think I would like to be a pastor. But as that was years ago. And I have never wanted to do it after that, you know. The only reason I would want to do it is because I care so much for people, but the truth of the matter is I don't want to be a pastor. I really don't. To me, just going through my day and seeing people, it's just about that. As a Christian, just reaching out to a hurt and dying world. That's all
it.
That it's about,
it.
You know?
That's it. And that's what people have lost sight of. It's all about titles, who I am and what I do and all this
mm-hmm.
and that, but we have lost sight of what it truly is about. It's the lost souls. We don't have to be have a name in front of us to do what God has called us to do, and what he has called us to do is tell about a man named Jesus. That
Amen.
Came
it's all
to
about
save
Jesus.
The lost soul. So that's where the point is right there. The what happened to the church that Jesus built, well, it's right there. They have locked Jesus out of the church. They've locked him out.
They
that's
have
what
forsaken their first love. They have forsaken their first love.
Yeah, they've turned their back on
them. They're running the show.
It's all about them now. It's all about them.
All
you know,
them.
I came up with this sermon. I came up with this message. Oh, my.
Mm-hmm.
No, you didn't.
And Joseph is right. It is a business. It really is a business.
Yes.
And I get really sick and tired of hearing on TV, send me $100 and I'll send you this cassette and God will bless you. That is extortion. I mean, God, you know, God doesn't say, give me this and I'll give you that. You know, if you need food to put on your table, you just ask the Lord. He will provide it. And if you have faith in the Lord, if you have faith in the Lord, you don't even have to ask him. But to say that if you send me $100, God will bless you with this or that, that is blasphemy, and it just makes me sick to my stomach. It really does. Because there are people that believe that. You know, they're seeking God, and they don't know any better. That's why it's important to have leaders that that don't spiritually abuse the people that are coming to them, that they really find someone who can say, you know, I can tell you that Jesus loves you. I can tell you, I can pray with you. I'll stand by you. You can cry on my shoulder, you know. And unfortunately, there's not a great deal of those type of people out there, of those type of leaders.
Not at all. Not at all. Now, getting back to that quote. When I say this to you, tell me what it means to you. Quote,
okay.
Unquote.
Mm-hmm.
Obedience always requires action.
Obedience always requires action. Well, now I'm thinking back to my military days.
Go ahead, take your time.
Well, it also reminds me of faith. You know, faith without works is dead. If we love Christ, he said, if you love me, feed my sheep. If you're obedient to Christ, you will do something. You will act on it. You will not just go to church and then go home and watch MTV all day. It's really about giving of yourself. It's really about truly doing what the Word says. And the Word is Jesus. He is the Word.
Yes.
So we have to follow the Word of God. We have to do what Jesus tells us to do. And this is a huge struggle. Like I said, it's all about submitting to God and resisting the enemy.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I learned in the military was obedience. It's so very important. We don't listen enough closely to when God speaks to us. We need to, first thing in the morning, spend a little time with God so that he can speak to us and tell us what he wants us to do. Because we will always fall into traps. You know, he is like our general, and we are just foot soldiers. And, you know, we must obey God. We must obey his word. You know, and none of us are perfect, you know, but it's that humility that keeps us humble. There are too many self-righteous Christians. There are too many self-righteous Christians, and, you know, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble, you know. So as long as you have a willing heart and you want to obey God and you try your best, he knows that. He knows that. And where we fall short, as long as you come to the Lord on your knees and say, I fell short, you know, God will empower us. He will give us the grace to do what he wants us to do, as long as we have that in our heart to obey him.
Wow. Wow. And it used to be a time where they had prayer. Prayer has not only been taken out of the school, but it's been taken out of the church, too. I mean, I've been to several different church buildings just basically to observe. And I see that they put a time on how long they're going to pray. I'm like, you know, you're grieving the Holy Spirit when you don't allow the Holy Spirit to move. You know, he's the one that does the moaning and groaning. And people just, they have just lost sight. We have to get back, like you were saying, to our first love. To our first love is Jesus. And Jesus is still interceding on our behalf as he sits on the right-hand side of the Father. So prayer is important. It is important. The Word of God says that we should pray without ceasing, according to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. I mean, prayer is important. Jesus prayed about everything.
Everything.
It's like he always took some time, some solitary time, to be alone by himself with the Father, just to pray. Even before he was going to be hung on the cross, he went before the Lord to pray. He even asked his disciples to pray, and when he came back, they were asleep. I mean, so we need to get back to our first love, and church buildings need to get back to the first love, which is Jesus Christ. He is what it's about. stop bringing messages on, like you were saying, how to be prosperous, how to have all this money and this and that. Jesus mm-hmm. said, I come to give you life. And life that more abundantly. I mean, oh my God, he laid down his life for us if we would just give him the respect that is due. And that's why I wanted to have this show because, you know, talking with you, you know, I saw your love and your compassion, you know, that you have for Jesus Christ and that, you know, with that long conversation that we have. And, mm-hmm. and I just love people that are that way because, you know, I like to be around people that feel the same way as I do. It's about Jesus, and it's about those lost souls. And until that happens, you know, the church buildings are just going to crumble. They're not going to stand because they don't have any foundation to stand on. They're not standing on Jesus, so that's the foundation. If you're not standing on Jesus, you're going to crumble. And, you know, that's...
You
want to
hear something funny? You want to hear something funny? My landlord, God bless him, I love him. He's a Roman Catholic, and downstairs at the foot of my my stairs outside, I put the star of, I put the Star of David, and it has the word faith on it. And he came over and he looked at it and he said, "The Star of David." He said, "What are you, a Jew?" I said, "Well, Jesus was a Jew." He goes, "He was a Jew until he converted to Christianity." I said, "Converted to Christianity." Jesus is Christianity. he cannot convert to something that he is. So ultimately, that's the problem. That's the problem with the church is Jesus is Christianity, but they've made it something different. They've made it something completely different. It's all about rock bands and bringing the money to the church and pastors wearing bling bling and it's But again, you know, in the United States, you see a lot of that, but not necessarily in some countries. You know, missionaries will tell you they'll go to some place in China. You know, the Christians are they get tortured for reading a Bible. You know, they're more humble. You don't see them wearing bling bling and saying, "Hey, give me $100 and God will answer your prayer." Or the Philippines, you know, they some people live in tents on the ground. And they get down on their knees in the dirt and they pray and they have just the joy of Christ. So ultimately, you know, we're dealing with a spirit of greed in this country. And like I said, you know, Christians are not, you know, just magically exempt from the God of this age whose power is blinding everyone. And that's why God is judging. That is why we're being judged right now financially. Because this country has made God second to money. Maybe not even second, but this country has definitely made money the most important thing. And, you know, God will not be mocked. He will not be mocked.
That's right. That's right. And I just want to say that, you know, the conversation that was going on between you and Brother Joseph, it just came to mind that we can agree to disagree. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And it's a good thing. I mean, but for the moment it became a little... But some people kind of talk that with that high pitch that it seems like they're screaming, which I kind of felt too.
He's a sportscaster.
That's why.
I guess he's not a Yankees fan, but I have to tell you that before I came on the air, I was praying and the Lord showed me that someone was going to call and start yelling at me. So I was. As soon as you said we have a caller on the air, I just got this knot in my stomach and I said, "Okay, Lord."
But I believe it was all in love. It was all in love. Like I said, we're agreeing to disagree.
Yeah,
go ahead.
The Lord is always good. The Lord always, through all my years of suffering, I had to go through it. But after, as I started coming out of the suffering, God has really been good to me. He will actually warn me when something is going to happen that will cause me any, you know, being nervous or if there's just anything at all. He's so sweet. I can't even explain, you know, the slightest thing. If somebody's going to come upstairs banging on my door, you know, he lets me know like 5 minutes ahead of time because that might scare me. I mean, I used to have post-traumatic stress disorder, so something like that would, you know. But the Lord is so sweet to me. And because I live alone and I have no one to talk to, all I do is talk to Jesus. So that's how I developed that relationship with him. But, he did tell me that somebody was going to call and yell at me.
Like you said, he's a sports broadcaster, so I don't think he was yelling at you, you know, directly. You know what I'm saying?
But I do admire his passion and absolutely.
Yes.
I also sensed a lot of hurt inside of him. I really, you know, and I'm thankful that he called in, and you know, we have to talk about things. That's the only way people
Almost
are going to, we have to communicate. We have to
exactly.
communicate, you know. Everybody
exactly.
doesn't have to agree, you know.
Exactly. We agree to disagree. That's why I'm thankful that God allowed me to do shows like this, you know, because I touch on things that people don't want to talk about. Homosexuality, abortion,
mm-hmm.
Domestic violence. Oh my gosh, I've had all sorts of guests on because that's my passion. That's what I want it to be known. And so many times church buildings keep things in the closet, you know, and they don't want, we don't want to talk about, we're going to talk about how they can make money. Don't talk about homosexuality. Mm. Don't talk about, you know, me beating on my wife. You know, it's like, that's a part of life. And it has to be brought out.
Oh, in this country, there's a lot of things that people don't want to talk about. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well,
and I do want to say
Go
another
ahead.
Thing about ministers and pastors. What you do see a lot, another thing that's a problem, is you see a lot of pastors and ministers who have the gifts of the Spirit, like they prophesy or, you know, they speak in tongues, but they don't have the fruit of the spirits, of the Spirit, which is like love, tenderness, kindness. So you know, they're prophesying, but they don't have any love inside of them. Now, the Holy Spirit can empower you with gifts of the Spirit. He can empower you to speak in tongues or to prophesy, but the Holy Spirit cannot force you to love somebody. He cannot force you to. This is something that you have to do of your own free will, and you become empowered to love by receiving the love of God. The love doesn't really come from us; it comes from the Lord. So we have to submit to the Lord. We have to submit to the Lord to receive the fruits of the Spirit. And not be so preoccupied with getting the gifts of the Spirit. But you see a lot of that. You see a lot of that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness, yes.
If you look at, we have a magazine, a newspaper in New York. It's called the Love Express or something. Can't think of the name of it. But you have all these ads with Prophet so-and-so, and he's going to prophesy to you, and you meet the guy, and he's as cold as a fish. No love in him, no kindness, you know. I once did a little undercover work myself. There was a church in Manhattan that claimed to be a deliverance church. They claimed to be very compassionate and everything. So I did a little trick, and I said, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. So I called the church up, and I spoke to somebody there, and I said my name was something else, and I'm going to send my sister down there. She really needs to be loved. She's going through a lot of hurt, and she needs deliverance. And I said what I was going through and everything, and they didn't know I was her.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, can somebody just please, when she comes in, like maybe somebody just maybe sit her down and let her know she's welcomed, and can somebody maybe pray with her? And they said, oh, absolutely, yes, of course we'll do that. Well, I came in that Sunday, and the very woman that I spoke to on the phone, she was the one who was so rude to me. She knew exactly who I was. I was the sister of the woman that she spoke to, but she didn't
right.
do any. But they didn't do any of the things that they promised my so-called sister. And that was my little undercover work. I sat through the whole thing, and I wrote everything down, and I said, this is just unbelievable, because they have no idea they have no idea that I'm the person they were talking to on the phone. And so there's no accountability. There's no accountability. And it's just like that. It's like, why are you in a church if you don't love people, if you don't like people?
Yeah.
What's
yeah.
the point of even – why do you even go to church? Just stay home.
Yeah.
Just
exactly.
stay home.
My.
So, you know, everybody likes the titles. I'm a deacon. I'm this and that. They like to speak in tongues and prophesy, but there's no love in their heart. Where is
no
the
love.
Fruit? Where's the fruit of the Spirit? Never mind the gifts. Don't concentrate on the gifts. Concentrate on the fruits of the Spirit.
My goodness. I
love
totally.
And kindness
oh.
and tenderness.
Yes.
Where is all that?
Oh, my goodness. There was a song, I think, Dionne Warwick sung it. Where is the love? You know, and it's so true because you go into, you have these cliques that are in the church building. You know, don't sit on this pew. This is for Sister So and So. Go in the back. You know, or roll their eyes at you because they're judging you by your first appearance or whatever. And I'm like, what happened? This is a hospital. Doctor, nurse, somebody help me. But people are so cold. But the Word of God says that people would turn that way. You know, that they would, you know, cold and become lovers of themselves and wars and rumors of wars. So it's not to be unexpected, but my goodness.
I remember one time in the middle of worship, there was this young couple literally making out in the middle of the church in the pews. And I had to call a deacon over and say, could you please break that up? I'm trying to worship God. I mean, they were going at each other like they were in the backseat of a car.
Oh, my. I was like,
this is a holy place. I was angry. Whew. This is a holy place, and you're making out. Some people just don't have any reverence for God. I say, get them out of the church. Go away. If you don't respect God, then they should not be welcome in the church.
Oh, my goodness.
If you don't love and respect God, how can you serve him?
Yes.
And again, I'm not saying I'm perfect, because I'm far from perfect. It's not
you
about
and me
being
both.
Perfect. It's not about being perfect. You know, we all fall short, but let's not that short. Come on, let's not be that far.
Exactly.
And in the Army, we have a handbook. It's called the Smart Book. Mm-hmm. And we are to always have this book in our hands, religiously. And the book tells you everything you need to do, how to speak, what to say, how to put your gun together, how to take apart, what time to go to bed, how to wash yourself. Everything that you can imagine, this book will tell you to do as a soldier. And we have the Bible. The Bible tells us what to do. It tells us how to love one another. It tells us everything that Jesus went through for us. How can we not appreciate that? How can we not lay down our lives because of what he did for us? There's just something very wrong there.
It is very, very wrong. My goodness. We have like 26 minutes remaining in the show. Ooh. The show was to only last for an hour, but when the agreeing to disagree started, I had to add more time.
Okay.
I had to add more time. So we have 26 minutes remaining in the show, and I just want you to share any last-minute thoughts, anything you want to share with our listeners, because, again, you are the guest.
Well, do you remember when we spoke a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the kingdom of God? It says to put the kingdom of God first. First seek the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. The problem that I see, and I can only speak about the churches in the United States, and it's not every church, it's not every pastor, not everybody is corrupt. That's, you know, let's just say that.
Okay.
But I see a lot of Christians that are not putting the kingdom first, but they're making their own kingdoms on earth. They're sort of like it's like me against the world. It's like me and my family. We're gonna buy this big house. We're gonna get the two car garage. They work so hard to build their kingdom, but we're not gonna be staying here. You know, it's like it's almost as if your boss sent you on assignment for 6 months to another country, and you started building as though you're gonna live there for 10 years.
Mm.
You know, this is not our home. This is not our home.
Yeah.
And they're constantly, they want the 40-inch TV, then the 50-inch TV. It's always about getting something greater and bigger, and they just keep building and building and building. We're supposed to be building the kingdom of God.
Oh, my goodness.
And in Nehemiah 5, when they were rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, they were working, like, around the clock.
Yeah.
Men were working during the day. When they went home and they went to sleep, more men came, and then they were guarding the walls so they wouldn't be knocked down again. They were working around the clock to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. We have to rebuild the kingdom of God. It's been smashed, but it's so broken down, but we have to stop working so hard, building our houses and buying more cars and, getting that, getting a name for yourself at your company. And it's not all, we're not going to be staying here that much longer.
My goodness.
We're going to be living forever with Christ, and we don't need to work for houses and all that. He's going to give us mansions and all that.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost as if Christians really don't believe and trust God. It's almost like they really don't believe there's a heaven or that. You know, we're not supposed to be here that long. There's just some kind of mistrust going on there. where they really don't seem to believe. You've got to believe. If you don't believe, then you might as well just give it up. I mean, there's really no point. There's no point in being a Christian or going to church if you don't really believe, you know, that we're you know, we have a purpose here, and it's not to build our own kingdoms. It's to build the kingdom of God. You know, instead of buying that new car, why don't you stay with the car that's 5 years old? So you don't have to drive the new car. Who cares what people think about you? And why don't you give that, you know, $10,000 to charity, to some poor people in the Philippines who want to build a Bible school or something? You know, sacrifice for the kingdom of God so that others may grow in the Lord, and so that others may be saved and hear the word of God. And many Christians, they don't want to sacrifice. They don't want to sacrifice. They just, you know, it's if you have it to give, that's one thing. But if you say, Lord, I want to buy this thing for myself, but instead I'm going to give it to you, that's sacrifice. That hurts.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus was nailed to the cross, it hurt. He was in excruciating anguish.
Yeah.
It hurts when you sacrifice, but we don't, you know, a lot of Christians, we don't want to go through pain. We're not supposed to be pampered. And this is what these pastors with the bling bling and the $800 suits, this is the corrupt message that they're sending. These are the lies that they're sending, that it's all about become a Christian and God will bless you because you're a prince and a princess of Christ. You're a daughter of God. Well, that only means that you're supposed to serve. That's all it means. If Jesus is our master, we're not better than our master, are we?
If he
got down and washed the feet of his own disciples, well, then that's what we're supposed to do.
Yes. And when you said that about the, you know, the pastors having, I recall being in a church some years ago where, you know, the pastor did have a nice car and he wore nice suits and things of that sort. Mm-hmm. And one of the members there was always, you know, one of those faithful tithers. But she had come into a financial, you know, difficulty in one part of her life. So she went to the pastor to ask if they can help pay, you know, a bill. Mind you, she's mm-hmm. always given to the church. Mm-hmm. And they said, we have to talk about it. You know, we have to get together with the other, you know, members on the board, and we have mm-hmm. to talk about it. And when they came mm-hmm. back with the decision, they weren't able to assist her. And again, the hospital, I mean, the church is a hospital. You are there to help those that are in need. What is going on? Mm-hmm. We have to pray like never before, listeners out there, for these church buildings and these pastors, because they are hurting people. They have lost sight of what it's really about, which is Jesus. I mean, this lady had given all that she could give, and all she was asking for was some help on a bill. And they had to talk about it?
It shouldn't even be something to discuss. And where do you think he got the money for that car?
Hello, from her.
Actually, we're laughing, but it's sad.
It's sad. You have to laugh from crying. That's what I always, when I'm laughing at a serious situation, it's because I'm laughing not to cry. Because, like you said, it is serious, and it's going to get worse.
But the good news is that God is in control.
Yes.
And he's not going to let it go unjudged. And so let me just read from the Word of God what I shared with you a few weeks ago.
Yes, I loved it.
The book of Ezekiel, chapter 34. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, you clothe yourselves with wool and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of my flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered all over the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd and so has been plundered and has become food for all the wild animals, and because my shepherds did not search for my flock but cared for themselves rather than for my flock, Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds, and I will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths, and it will no longer be food for them. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in the settlements of the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice.
My God. My goodness.
And when we hear the word shepherds, we do think of the shepherd as being the pastor. This is a very good analogy of how we have certain pastors who basically take from Christians their money and buy themselves fine clothes and things, but they really don't take care of the people in their church, and they really don't care for them. But God said, I will judge you. Verse 20, therefore this is what the sovereign Lord says to them. See, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you shove with flank and shoulder, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until you have driven them away. Remember you told me about that man they threw out of the church?
Yes.
Exactly. You shove with flank and shoulder, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until you have driven them away. Many churches don't want weak people. They don't want people who have needs. They want people who have money. They want people who have money who can come in and pay their tithes and make the church richer. They don't want people who come there and need help. So they try to do the best they can. They try to do the best they can to get rid of you. And the example that you gave me, they literally threw the man out, as you told me.
Yeah, they threw him out. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It just was like, you got to go. And they not only told him you got to go, they escorted him out to make sure he was out and not in the hallways or anything. I love that scripture. What was it again, in case our, someone just came in? Where did
Ezekiel,
it come out?
Yeah, Ezekiel 34. Verses 1 through 22.
Read that, listeners. Read that scripture. It's a very good scripture. I want to thank you so much, Elizabeth, for accepting the invitation to be a guest on the show. I have an awesome time with you. I am full. You have given so much information, so much wisdom, so much knowledge. And, you know, I love you with the love of Jesus Christ. I also want to thank those that came on the show to support the show, guest 2711, guest 2761, Joseph from Let's Talk Sports, Real Talk with Tanya White, the Coach K, Taylor Michael, and also guest 2485 and guest 2563. And Taylor Michael just came by for a moment. This is kind of funny. He came by, she came by to say, I'm just stopping by to let you know that you said, quote unquote, what happened to the church that Jesus built. And then she says, what you should have put was, what happened to the church that Jesus built? Because I spelled it was a typo. I spelled built B-U-I-L-D, and she corrected me, or he corrected me by I should put B-U-I-L-T. So I'm going to have to make sure I go back.
Just a little nitpicking. So
I'm going to have to go back and make sure I get that right. And thank you so much, Taylor, Michael, for correcting me. I appreciate that. And some other stuff that was said by Let's Talk Sports says, God is I am, God is you are, God is we are all are. and to take care and have a great rest of the day. Peace and blessings.
Thank you, Joseph.
And he's already gone and done his whole thing, but that's what he left in the chat room. And it's just, you know, it's just so good when we can really. I know I'm going to hear about this at the end of after the show. But, you know, God is good. And, you know, and I think that God is well pleased, because anytime we're lifting up Jesus' name, anytime we're exposing him to people that may not know any of this or may know of it, but, like, needed answers to why it's going on, what is happening to the church that Jesus built, we've done our job. This is ministry. We don't have to have no title in front of us. This is ministry, to get the word out there, to let people know about the goodness of Jesus. That's it. That's all it is. And you hear so many times, because there was a time when I had not, I think, what did she tell me? She was a prophet. Yeah, she was a prophetess. And I had addressed her by her first and last name, and she says, anytime you address me, address me as prophetess so-and-so.
Not
I was like, my gosh! Well, couldn't you foresee that ahead of time? Couldn't you foresee that I wasn't going to address you as that ahead of time? Because I didn't think that it was, like, important.
It's not important.
I'm sorry. And I had to apologize. I don't know how many times I apologize. It's like, I'm sorry. Because I felt so bad. What did I do wrong? Because I didn't say prophetess.
I have prophesied on occasion, and I do have some pastors that call me prophetess, and I say to them, why do you call me? Don't call me prophetess. I'm not a prophetess. Just because I prophesied once in a while doesn't mean I'm a prophetess. I feel uncomfortable with that title. But they will say, I have a prophetess Elizabeth with me, and I say, don't call me that. Just call me Sister Elizabeth.
Right.
They love their titles, you know?
That is for sure. That's why we're going to take the next and we also have guest Be Encouraged Radio joined us. Hey, A Word. Oh, hey, hi back to you. My guest today is Elizabeth Saxon, and we've been talking about what happened to the church that Jesus built, and the last letter is with a D, with a T. But anyways, you know, laughter is medicine. It's that's another thing that gets to me, too, about people that's inside of the church building. A lot of them are walking around like their ties are too tight. Laugh a little. It's okay to laugh. I mean, that is, I laugh a lot. And people probably, well, gosh, you know, you walk with the Lord and stuff. Why are you always laughing? Because laughter is medicine. And I'm not going to keep my mouth frowned all the time, because I'm going to have these wrinkles. So therefore, I'll smile a lot, so that way, you know, my face is vibrant. So people out there, laugh a little. It's okay if you're walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can still laugh.
I have to tell you something funny. I knew this lady that I once worked with, who was a Seventh-day Adventist. I think that's what they're called. And she came over to my desk, and she handed me some papers, and she had two pieces of tape on either side on her cheeks. And I said, this is going to sound like a silly question, but why do you have tape on your face? And she said, because when I laugh, it gives me lines, so I put the tape there so I don't laugh. She would walk around all day long with two pieces of tape on her below her cheeks to remind herself not to laugh, because she gets lines.
Oh my goodness. Coach K said God gave us laughter for a reason. I think I read somewhere in the Bible where God had laughed. I don't know exactly. I don't know if it was in the Book of Psalms, but I believe I had read something like that. I mean, it's okay to laugh. That's why it's a part of our emotion. Otherwise, he wouldn't have given it to us.
If we only cried, we would just waste away if we only cried.
Yes.
There's a reason why God gave us, you know, the emotion of being happy and laughing and having joy. It's very important. Without laughter, I mean, I would have been gone a long time ago, to be honest.
That's true. Coach K said, with the tape person, we need to pray for her. We definitely should.
She was listen to me. She was eventually fired because she was peculiar. That was the reason for firing her. She was extremely peculiar. Too strange to work with.
My goodness.
I was really afraid where I was going to see the tape next. I really didn't want to talk to her anymore. But, yes, it's okay to laugh.
It's all right. It's all right. Well, you know,
okay,
we have 8 minutes remaining in the show. I want to thank everybody for supporting the show on today. Thank you so very much for coming out and supporting A Word For You right here on Blog Talk Radio. I thank, again, my guests. Oh, my goodness. I'm just so thankful for this divine appointment that God has allowed me and this awesome woman of God to have, Elizabeth Saxon. She's been here. She's awesome. She's an actress. She's a singer. She's a songwriter. She's a musician. And she knows the Word of God, and I believe she knows the Word of God so much is because she has been and stayed in His presence. And that's a beautiful thing, because when we stay in the Word of God, God speaks to us through His Word because He is the Word. So I'm just so excited about this day. Before we close the show with 7 minutes remaining, my beloved
sister.
That's
a good number.
Heaven. Completion. Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Anything you want to tell our listeners, anything you want to say before we close the show and I do my announcement?
Just that Jesus is Christianity. Without knowing Jesus, spending time with Him, knowing His Word, being obedient to Him, just trying your best to do what God tells us to do and to be what He wants us to be, which is to love ourselves and love our neighbors as we love ourselves, and to love Him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to put Him first, And it doesn't matter how busy your life is, you've got to put Jesus first.
Yeah.
You've got to get up 15 minutes earlier every day and spend time with the Lord alone. If you have to go down in the basement, if you have to go in the backyard, if you have to go outside into the driveway and sit in your car alone, you've got to spend time alone with the Lord. You've got to put Him first. Let Him talk to you. And don't be afraid that He's going to, because God is not like that. I've never sat in the presence of God where He started pointing out all my errors. But you will get so much love for Him, and all you will want to do is turn around and just give the love that you receive. You cannot receive anything from Christ if you don't spend time in His presence. And we've got to stop, building our own kingdoms. We're not going to be here that much longer. So let's, let's build the kingdom of God.
Amen. Amen. Wow. So you've been listening to A Word For You here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your on-air radio personality, Tracy Luanda, and my special guest today was Elizabeth Saxon, and our show's topic was on what happened to the church that Jesus built. And again, I thank everybody for showing up and supporting the show on today. And the announcements that I have is that A Word For You will be back on the air in the month of July on the 17th. We'll have evangelist Lottie Stern, who is going to be sharing her.
I love her. I know her. She's a wonderful lady.
Yeah, she's going to be sharing her book with us.
I've spoken to her many times. She's a wonderful lady. She's ministered to me many times.
Praise God. Well, see, look at here. Well, she's going to be on the air with us on the 17th, which is a Friday at 1:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So you want to come out and hear that show, Awesome Woman of God. And then on the 24th, we'll be back on the air again with Pastor Stanberry, and she's going to be sharing her testimony with us. And she'll be on the air with us at 11:30 Pacific Standard Time, 1:30 Central Standard Time, and 2:30 Eastern Standard Time. So we'll be back on the air then, and then we're going to be off the air for a while because. But we'll be back again in the month of, towards the month of August or the first week of September. But in July, we'll be back on the 17th and the 24th. And again, I just thank you for tuning into the show. Thank you so very much, Elizabeth, for
being who you are.
You know I love you with the love of Jesus Christ. And remember, there's a pickup online. What was that thing that still stays in my mind sometimes. I'll laugh about it. When you had called me one day and I was in the store, and you were telling out.
I called you, and you picked up the. You were in the supermarket.
Yes.
And I asked you to pray with me. I said, "Go to aisle 7 and pray with me." And then I said, "There's an announcement overhead." I said, "Clean up in aisle 7. Satan had an accident."
Oh man, that was so funny. But anyway, somebody's laughing in the chat room. You see, got to stop by this show. You know, we have some serious topics, but there's also some laughter going on. So we're going to go ahead and end the show now. Everyone have a wonderful, wonderful day in the Lord. And remember to stay in the Word of God because God is the Word. Remember to praise God in good times and in bad times. Remember to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And don't forget to pray without ceasing. You've been listening to A Word for You right here on Blog Talk Radio. Until next time, keep on keeping on for the Lord. Bye-bye. A Word for You right here on Blog Talk Radio. On A Word for You, we deal with everyday life and everyday issues that affect our lives and our communities, using biblical principles for answers and understanding. These sound biblical principles not only work in the spiritual realm, but also in other aspects of life. Here on A Word for You, we will uplift you, inspire you, inform you, educate, and encourage you. A Word for You will have an array of guests from book authors, men and women in ministry, organizations, motivational and inspirational speakers, artists, therapists, survivors, musicians, comedians, spoken word, and open mic discussions. We are here learning to live this life to the fullest, leaning not on our own understanding, but trusting in the Word for direction, purpose, and guidance. Everyone has a story to tell. So call in with your questions or comments. The number is 347-945-5903. Once again, that number is 347-945-5903. We have a word just for you.
I can only imagine when that day